right, good morning, everyone. Welcome back. 2 days in a row, we got audio and video. I assure you, Mike's wonderful opinions will be heard from the hop today. We got all those audio issues figured out yesterday, so we are happy to be here. It is Friday. That means we're going to be talking NFL, and something 80s, I'm sure. But mostly NFL, because we give our picks, and we have a lot of fun today. So, without further ado, I got to properly introduce my co-host and give him a big, hearty, and heartfelt...
La, la, la. Thank you, my friend. That was a very hearty welcome, and I do appreciate that. Here on a Friday morning, snow is falling in the Northeast here in the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area. We are getting what is snow. Yes, see, for all of us who migrated down to the Tampa area, you and a certain quarterback down there have to be reminded as to what snow is. It's white stuff that falls from the ground, really kind of makes your day miserable. That's what it is, and it is doing so right now. I'm looking outside my window and watching some snow falling. No accumulation, but still, it's October 30th, and I'm looking at snow, and how much more 2020 can we get, really? It's really It's just on point with this year.
It is a beautiful, and when I say beautiful, I really mean beautiful, 70 degrees right now here down in sunny Florida. St. Pete, to be more specific. You know, I'm not quite in Tampa, but, you know, I'd tell Tom, like, look, can't move too close, man. You know, let's give a little separation here. So, Tom,
well, you know, after all, he did follow you down to Tampa.
Oh, of course,
obviously. That's the reason why he moved down there, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, who do you think he called to get recommendations? Just saying.
Oh, of course.
I hooked him up with Jeter, you know? Anyways.
That's it.
was that, remember that show, Believe It or Not, Fact or Fiction? Well, I'll tell you what, it's the end of our story, and what do you believe? Is that truth or false? No, that's false. I've never met Tom Brady, unfortunately. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But you do remember that show, right? Jonathan Frakes was the host of that, Mike?
Yes, I do. Okay. I actually do remember that show. Unbelievable. Yeah. It's amazing that I do what I do.
I feel like one of the stories I remember... was about this lady who sold a car for like a dollar because her like husband died or whatever, and it ended up being true. I don't know. That's the only aspect of the entire series that I remember. But if I recall, there were some pretty entertaining episodes. It was a fun show to watch back in the day. speaking of back in the day, and we are going to talk obviously a lot of football, but obviously, both of us are New Englanders, both of us are hockey fans, and, you know, both of us are of the age that we remember the horrible accident that cost Travis Roy his ability to walk and basically do anything, you know, hockey-wise. Anyone who doesn't know the story, he wrote a book. I highly recommend it. I remember reading it when I was younger. I plan on rereading it again because it just hasn't been... it's been so long, but unfortunately he passed away yesterday due to some complications, I guess, from procedures that he was undergoing to, you know, continue to improve his quality of life. And again, if anyone doesn't know the story, he was taking his first shift at BU when it was just a bad, just an unlucky fall into the boards, and you know, the next thing you know, it's just sad. I mean, obviously, I grew up playing hockey. It happened when I was 9 years old. So, you know, going and watching this and having it be very, you know, front and center, being a kid growing up playing hockey in New England. I mean, it's just a sad story. But, you know, to his credit, he spent the last 25 years of his life advocating and you know, helping others just have a better quality of life. And, you know, for someone who could have just, you know, said, hey, that's it, you know, I'm never going to walk again and just kind of retreat into their own lives. You know, he could have done that, but he was a huge advocate for that. And it was unfortunate to see that news yesterday, especially since we just passed the 25th anniversary of that actual game and everything just on the 20th of this month. So sad news, especially up here in New England, and I'm sure in the hockey world overall.
Absolutely. Very sad news. And for what it's worth, the impact that Travis Roy had on not just sports, not just, you know, the people that, that he touched individually, but on so many levels, on so many different areas in all walks of life. This, again, you, I think you put it very eloquently. This is a young man that did not have to essentially use his platform to do anything, you know, a bit more beneficial for those that are in his situation. He could have very easily been angry with the world, someone that had a lot of life to live, someone that had a lot of promise in his given field, and having that taken away from him. Travis never complained. He never had the why me or the woe is me attitude. He looked at his new calling in life to help others and to make people's lives better. And, you know, the world would be so much better off with people, you know, that were more like-minded toward Travis Roy. My sincere condolences, our sincere condolences to his family and friends during this difficult time. Bill Belichick began his morning press conference by offering condolences to the family of Travis Roy. So his blueprint and his footprint and the legacy that he leaves behind is felt indelibly by so many, and it will continue to be. His legacy will continue to live on. So it's tragic to lose him at such a young age, but the impact that he left behind at such a young age will continue to be his legacy.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to get to meet him when I was a kid. Obviously, I told you I was 9 when it happened 25 years ago. However long after, this was after his book came out, because I got at the Marlboro ice rink at the time. At the time, it was only 4 rinks. I the last I knew, I think it was 6. Who knows how many it is now? It's probably like 24. But anyways, I got a chance to meet him as he was signing his books, and obviously, if anyone's familiar with the Marlboro ice rink, it's a pretty big spot, you know, for any sort of youth hockey or you know, anything like that, because it's a huge rink. It hosts a lot of big tournaments and camps and all that stuff. But anyways, I got an opportunity to meet him, and you know, I highly recommend, if you haven't read it, 11 Seconds. It's his book, it's his autobiography, so check it out. I'm gonna try to find it again. I'm gonna find another copy, and definitely want to give it another read, because it has been a long time since I read it. And at the end of the day, we just want to, like you said, you know, give our condolences, and you know, just it's a sad story to start today, unfortunately. But anyways, it is the 30th. It's not quite Halloween, but we're not gonna be on the air tomorrow for Halloween. So it's one of my favorite holidays for sure. Certainly, it takes on a different, you know, different feel this year. I'm sure a lot of people are adjusting, trying to figure out how to celebrate it. But I got to ask you, Mike, because I know one costume. Actually, I have a picture. One costume that you wore. But was that your favorite Halloween costume? And remember, this is a somewhat of a family program. So if you have to edit a little bit, go ahead and edit yourself. But what was your favorite costume ever? Kid, adult, advanced adult.
Oh, we're talking kid now too. Okay.
Well, give me both. Give me your kid one and give me your adult.
I've had some good Halloween costumes. I really have. I've been very fortunate to have a very vivid imagination, and also when I was a kid, great parents that allowed me to you know, indulge what I wanted to dress up as. My favorite kid costume had to be Beetlejuice when I was a kid. I absolutely loved that movie. Michael Keaton was a hero of mine, and when he became Batman, forget it. At 10 years old, getting a chance to see Michael Keaton play Batman was huge. That was big. But Beetlejuice was something that I really, really enjoyed, and that was a great costume. I bought a prepackaged costume, but put my own spin on it. The prepackaged version wasn't quite authentic enough. So my mom and my aunt, thankfully, were very good with makeup and doing, you know, the Beetlejuice type, you know, makeup that I had, and the suit and everything. And it was, that was pretty good. So I enjoyed that one. as an adult, or a teen or an adult, you start going to costume parties a little bit more and things like that. I did Indiana Jones one year. I had bought the fedora when I was down in Disney at the Indiana Jones outpost near the Stunt Spectacular. My grandfather had an aged brown leather jacket that I could wear.
Oh, I thought you were going to say whip.
No. Bought the whip at a joke shop, folks. You know that was good. And I even had my grandfather was even a carpenter that was able to whittle a wooden Holy Grail that I could hold and I could take with me. So it was that was pretty good. I dressed up like the Godfather one year. But I think probably my favorite of all time was the picture that you indeed have, and I know you're going to put it out there for all to see. Oh, I know you would. I absolutely know you would. But it was Barnabas Collins a few years ago. Anybody that's a fan of the Dark Shadows show, the old Dark Shadows show with Jonathan Frid starring as Dark Shadows. I went with that one year, and that was pretty good. I actually won a costume contest that year.
So, yeah. There you go. You know, it's funny, and I don't know if we've ever actually mentioned this, but it's funny that your favorite kid costume was a Michael Keaton inspired movie adaptation, because mine was too, and it came just a few years after, and that was Batman, as you mentioned. I mean, this couldn't have been a better transition. I had the Batman costume, and like your parents or like your mother, we didn't quite have the best costume, so we had to improvise. My mom went all out over and above to make this costume. Let me tell you, I mean, this thing had the suit had muscles in it, so I looked like a 4 or 5 year old. I looked jacked. Let's just put it that way. Like a little freak kid who had been working out since I came out of the womb. No, but obviously, we've talked about it before. My favorite, Batman is Michael Keaton. And again, as you were telling that story about doing Beetlejuice, I was chuckling because it was Michael Keaton based. And again, my Batman came early 90s, which came after the 1989 version starring Michael Keaton. So there's a little bit of a connection there. My favorite adult costume, easily, and for a number of reasons, I went as Jim Carrey from The Cable Guy, but specifically from the basketball scene where he was wearing the headbands, the running shorts and all that nonsense. The reason why I like it so much was, well, one, because it just looked good. And two, I was supposed to work this night. Okay, this was in college. And, in college, how important Halloween is. I mean, if you're lucky, Halloween falls on a Wednesday, so you have 2 weekends to celebrate this great, great holiday. But I was supposed to work this night, and as you know, you can't just have the same costume for every night. There's got to be something different every night. So at the last minute, I get it out of work, and I'm like, okay, how do I get a costume? I got nothing. And off the top of my head, at 8:30 at night, I run to Dick's Sporting Goods, and I found shorts. I found a shirt, some headbands, some socks, and it was good. It went off without a hitch. And I want to throw out one honorable mention here, because this wasn't necessarily Halloween, but it was a moment in which I dressed up. Senior week, way back when, in high school, I went as Kramer one day. So, for Celebrity Day.
Ah, it was great. Yes. Good.
Yes, so, figure honorable mention. So, yeah, that was good. We definitely had a good array of costumes. I want to know what you guys out there, listening out there, whether it's Sportscaster, whether it's Full Press Radio, you can... If you're not listening on Full Press Radio, you'll want to, fullpressradio.com, download the app, Full Press Coverage. Let us know what your favorite Halloween costume was. What'd you go as one year, whether you're a kid, adult, remember, keep it PG, or let's PG-13. We can go up that far. Let us know. Tweet us at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. We'd like to know. We'd like to get some ideas. Claire, you're on the spot. I mean, we know you're listening. So, yeah, you got to let us know. Anyways, so I think it is time we start talking about actual football, considering, hey, we got a whole weekend full of it, and we kind of missed a lot this week. So, last night, because, it is Friday, I got off to a bad start last night. So anyways, folks, we're fortunate enough, and Mike has been working with them, but full press coverage, as I said, is fortunate enough to be working now with Tally Site. They help basically put all of us that work within this industry picks together. We rent. It's a lot of fun, and it's a good tool for us to use, obviously, because we do our picks anyways on the show, and it's a nice way to kind of keep everything nice, tidy, and clean, and also a way to remind us of when we fail miserably. Last week, I went 15-15. Oh, no, that's not true. I went 500 last week. I think it was like 12-12-2 or whatever it was. I got off to a bad start already. Actually, we both did. we both picked Carolina last night, and
yeah,
we definitely screwed that one up.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I mean, look, can you blame us? I mean, Atlanta, I mean, I think people were just waiting for Atlanta to lose that game. But off to a pretty bad start. But we have obviously plenty of other games to get to here. And we're going to start doing that here in a minute. So first off, though, what game? I know obviously Patriots game is big. But what other games are you looking forward to this weekend that's got you amped up? What's got you to the point of almost painting your face because you're so excited for this particular game? Let me know, Mike. In the spirit of Halloween.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the big, where the big boys play, going back to WCW days, I would say Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I mean, you know, obviously it's a huge rivalry. These two teams are playing well. Pittsburgh is arguably the best team in the AFC right now. Maybe I think a lot of people could make that argument. Baltimore still believes that they're in the mix, and I believe they are. I think this is going to be a very good game. I'm looking forward to this one, definitely, without question. This one may surprise some people. The Raiders and the Browns, I think, has an interesting chance of being a decent game this weekend. I know a lot of people are looking at the Browns and saying, well, Odell is gone. That's it. Baker's going to come off the rails. But there's still a lot of talent on that defense. There's still the ability for them to move the ball on offense. I like the way the Raiders are constituted. This one is a sleeper game for me this weekend. San Francisco and Seattle is another one that I think has a chance to be a really good game, a divisional round game. San Francisco's playing very well right now. Seattle is still considered one of the best teams in the NFC. So those are the games that I have my eye on this weekend. What say you, my friend?
What say me? Well, you stole my thunder a little bit. I do like Cleveland and Las Vegas, if anything, for just I think we're going to see a lot of offense in that game, and that should be pretty fun. I mean, both teams score a lot of points. You know, the Browns are coming off I don't want to say impressive win, because you're probably supposed to beat the Bengals, but impressive nonetheless, bouncing back after falling behind. Before the season, I would have probably said Green Bay, Minnesota, but actually, not so much anymore. let's be real. I think San Francisco and Seattle has some intrigue. I mean, again, I think before the season, I think you would look at that a lot more, but you know, Seattle's defense isn't that great, and I think at the very least San Francisco can give them a game. You know, despite them, having to deal kind of shorthanded here, and they have been really since the first couple weeks of the season. I have no interest in watching Dallas and Philadelphia. I just don't. I mean, I think I don't know. I like I said, it's one of those games. Like if it was the only game on TV, I'd probably watch curling. Sorry, Kyle. That wasn't a knock on curling. Just you know, I'd probably watch something else. But so yeah, I would say, you know, obviously outside of New England at Buffalo being, you know, obviously a personal of personal interest to me, I think that's the those would be the games that I'm really looking forward to. So how'd you do last week in your picks, Mike? Because I didn't see your percentage, but like I said, I finished a nice cool 500 this past week.
Not all that great. I mean, I've had better weeks. First of all, you know, my Thursday night game last week tanked in a hurry. I had the Giants over the Eagles. That didn't end up working.
My timing was terrible on that. It actually like froze on me. So I should have had that like 3 seconds ago, but
Hey. No, that wasn't bad. Yeah, I did have the Browns beating the Bengals, so okay. I did have that game. I had the football team beating the Cowboys. I had Kansas City beating Denver, Tampa Bay over Las Vegas. I had Buffalo over the Jets last week, Carolina over New Orleans, Pittsburgh over Tennessee. I had the Patriots over the 49ers.
Yeah, we both did.
Up Bears over the Rams, which didn't end up working out so well. Green Bay over Houston. I had the Falcons over Detroit. I had Seattle over Arizona, and I had the Chargers over the Jaguars. So, yeah, all in all, not one of my better weeks. And this week, I don't know. I'm rethinking a lot of what I put into the tally site this week, to be honest with you. For the record, folks, I picked the Patriots over the Bills before the news about Julian Edelman, but I'm sticking by it. I could still very easily go in and make that change, but I'm not going to do it.
No. And I'll assure you that I'm a lunatic, and I still pick the Patriots after I heard about the news. So, hey, it is what it is. We'll get to that game here in a minute, but yeah, let's jump into it. We got 33 minutes left. And we're going to hop on all these games, cause there are some good ones. Again, there are going to be some bad ones, but let's start Tennessee at Cincinnati. There's a few predictions that I have still going for me for my preseason 20 predictions piece that I published. One of which is Joe Burrow's yardage mark, passing Andrew Luck's record, rookie record, and he's still on pace for that. And you know, it's kind of playing out the way I saw it. I mean, just because he threw a bunch of yards and potentially a bunch of touchdowns doesn't mean he has this all-world season. It just means he's a young quarterback on a bad team and, you know, who has a lot of skill. I'm not taking that away from him, but he's on pace for that. I don't think he's going to get much against Tennessee this week. I think Tennessee, coming off their first loss, is going to be pretty much ready to go. So I took Tennessee in this one, and I'm assuming you're going to agree with me.
Yes, I am agreeing with you. Look, bottom line is, I think, can Cincinnati give them a game? I think they can definitely give them a game, but Tennessee, to me, is just a better team on both sides of the ball. I'm going with Tennessee in this one.
Next, we have the Miami Dolphins hosting the Los Angeles Rams in Tua Tagovailoa's NFL debut. Look, I like the Dolphins. They have one of the better points allowed defenses in the league. I think we both see that they're on the up and up. I liked their move to Tua. I think that's the only way that they're going to ultimately be able to take the next step as a franchise. Whether that happens right away or not is insignificant. It's immaterial. I mean, it doesn't matter. Tua can go out and struggle. You still stick with him, and I still think it's the right move. I'm not thinking he's going to struggle immensely in this game. I just think Los Angeles is a little bit better team than Miami, and I think Los Angeles is going to win this one. But I do think it's going to be pretty close, maybe like a field goal.
Yeah, I actually have it as a field goal as well and a win for the Rams. Look, Miami is going to give them all they can handle. Anyone thinks that they're going to be able to steamroll this team for the rest of the way, I think is sorely mistaken. I agree with you. I like the move to Tua. Their defense is playing at a higher level. Brian Flores really starting to put his stamp on this, but ultimately – I think the Rams are playing well on both sides of the ball right now. They squeak out a win, but it's not going to be a landslide. I think the Rams take this one by a field goal, too.
If you live in New England and you listen to the media, you would think that there's some sort of landslide going on in Foxborough right now. But in reality, it's just a team going through a transition, and they're going to be transitioning to playing the Buffalo Bills, division-leading Buffalo Bills, without Julian Edelman. I still pick the Patriots. I mean, again, that might be some bias or a lot of bias. I don't know. I tend to not go with – I mean, we've seen some ridiculous takes this week. We've seen some ridiculous proclamations about what this game is from media members, and I use that term loosely. It's not any of that. This is a team that is, you know, from the hop has had to deal with – I don't want to call it bad luck. I mean, look, in any season where you lose your franchise quarterback, it's going to be a tough transition. Add in all the things going on right now with COVID and the opt-outs that they had. You know, again, Patriots fans, you have to adjust your expectations. And when I say that, I obviously don't take my own advice and go emotionally and pick the Patriots in this game. So I'm sticking with it, Mike. I'm sticking with it. I'm going Patriots with this one. I don't think that they're as bad as we've seen the last couple weeks. I don't think the offense is as good as we saw against Seattle. I think it's somewhere in between, and I think it might be good enough to give the Bills a game because, look, as great as the Bills started 4-0, they really haven't played great football the last few weeks. So, you know, let's not write the Patriots off just yet.
Oh, and I'm not writing the Patriots off just yet by any stretch of the imagination. I alluded earlier to the fact that I could have changed my pick when Julian Edelman's injury news came out. Folks, the reason why I didn't is simply because Julian has been so limited in his abilities to be able to get open, make plays happen, that his absence is not going to be felt as much as people think on the field. Now, the biggest draw to having a Julian Edelman on the field is his ability to act as a decoy, even when he's not 100%. So having him out there and knowing that you're not going to be facing him does give the Buffalo Bills defense a little bit of an advantage. But this is a defense that is, they're banged up, let's face it. And they're actually ranked near the bottom of the league in points allowed. And it's difficult to imagine that this Buffalo Bills defense that everyone wanted to anoint as the best in the league prior to the season has sputtered. Now, a lot of that has been because of injury, and I'm fully, fully aware of that. But I think the Patriots do have a solid game plan in place. I think they know exactly what they've been doing wrong for the last couple of weeks, and I think they've been working hard in practice to correct it. Do they have the personnel to do it? That's going to be the key. But I believe they do, and I think the New England Patriots go up to Orchard Park and steal a win by a field goal over the Buffalo Bills and surprise a lot of people and maybe upset a lot of people, too, that can't wait to write this team's epitaph.
No, and then that's the thing. They're not even waiting. They're just going for it already. It's pretty wonderful, actually, because I love these things. Anyways, Green Bay hosting Minnesota. Again, I mentioned this earlier. Before the season, this looked like a potential division showdown. Minnesota isn't good. Green Bay is pretty good. I got Green Bay with this one. I think they win pretty easily, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Green Bay, I think, doubles up Minnesota. Look, yeah. If there's a team that I would label as my biggest disappointment this year, it's got to be the Minnesota Vikings. I had some higher hopes for them.
Yeah,
I think everybody did. I think you looked at their offense, their defense. You pretty much figured that these guys were going to contend. The loss of Stephon Diggs, I don't think, is even the problem there. I think there's so many big problems in Minnesota right now. Green Bay clicking, looks like they got back to the basics last week. They'll continue to roll this week against the Vikings.
Yeah, it'll be well, apparently my voice went back in time too because it's cracking all morning, but if only my age would and maybe my credit score. No. Aaron Jones obviously has been banged up, but with or without him, I still think Green Bay rolls in this one. So I'm with you. Next, we got New Orleans heading to Chicago. This is my, upset special of the week. Chicago, I think, is going to win this one. Michael Thomas obviously has been banged up a little bit. I think Chicago is just like this enigma of a team that could really, they could beat any team on any given Sunday, but then they could lose to any team on any given Sunday and look really bad in the process. So, but I like their defense. I think that's the most consistent thing about their team. And look, I think they jump on New Orleans at home. This is just a situation kind of like, you know, when the Bucs went up there, they just played them really well. And hey, it is what it is. So I got Chicago beat New Orleans. Do you agree, Mike?
I disagree, and I think Chicago's going to give New Orleans all they can handle. That's not a knock on the Bears, but you saw some of the deficiencies in the Chicago offense last week. There's clearly a disconnect between Matt Nagy, and there's definitely a disconnect between Nick Foles. There are some rumblings in Chicago. Will Trubisky get a chance to go back in? I don't think that's happening, but there are people that are suggesting it. To me, because of that, I think Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints are able to go in, and they're able to get one over the Chicago Bears because of the difficulties that they're having, but that defense will give the Saints offense all they can handle. It's going to be a low scoring game, believe it or not, but I think New Orleans takes it in the end.
Eagles, excuse me, heading to Dallas. Your paisan, Ben DiNucci, looks like he's going to get the start again. Look, I mean, we don't joke about injuries. I mean, obviously, we hope Andy Dalton gets back out there. I mean, obviously, we know Dak is still recovering from his injury a couple weeks ago. What we do joke about is just the ineptitude and just the ineffectiveness of football teams. And, you know, the NFC East kind of epitomizes that. I do think that I would say the Eagles probably have the highest ceiling, because I think clearly they have the best quarterback right now. And we've not, you know, I've given Carson Wentz his fair share of criticism. I think he has some confidence and mechanics issues. We've seen it a number of times, but he also has the ability to drag this team to kicking and screaming to wins, or at least competitive games. So in this case, I think Philadelphia is going to win this game. And look, I think it's pretty clear that the case for them to win the division, it's there. The ability to win the division is there. They just have to get healthy, I guess, you know, and win a few games, because it's not going to take too many to win this division. So I got Philadelphia winning this one.
I have Philadelphia winning this one as well. Look, for all intents and purposes, Philadelphia is not going to be a Super Bowl contender, but I do believe they're the most complete team in the NFC East right now. Again, not a very very honorable distinction, but there's still talent on that team, and if they decide that they, you know, want to put that together, they can give anybody a game. And I think right now Dallas is just a mess. I know my Paisan's going to start for them, but yeah, it's just I don't like the outcome of this for the Cowboys. Yeah, Philadelphia takes this one. I think it's going to be fairly easy.
I want to have you one of these days put together an all Paisan team. Just, you know, give me 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and just all pies on.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Okay,
oh,
okay.
I'm working on it, yep.
Is that possible? Is there enough pies? Who would be your starting quarterback?
Jimmy Garoppolo. if we're going all time, I mean, Vinny Testaverde, come on.
All
time. Dan Marino, he's got some Italian.
Okay.
So, you know, there are wheels in motion, my friend, when it comes to the all pies on team.
Yeah, next week, all pies on team revealed. I'm putting the pressure on you, my friend. All pies on. All time and current. Let's do that.
All right. So, I like it.
Yeah, it'll make your family happy. You never go against the family. Okay, next. that was my attempt at it.
Never go against the family
thank you,
again.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing the listeners back, because I almost lost them there. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. We talked about this as being one of your key matchups. I like Pittsburgh in this. I think they could be potentially the best team in the league. Certainly, I think they're the best team in the AFC right now. Both sides of the ball, they're playing really well. Obviously, the defense is playing pretty well. And look, Baltimore is, you know, they're effective, but they're not getting things done through the air. And I think eventually that's going to come back to bite them. I think they have maybe the third or fourth fewest passing yards in the entire league, which, you know, is a bit surprising. But, you know, again, they can win in so many different ways. It's not a huge deal for them, but I think eventually against really good teams, you have to kind of be able to do different things on offense. And I think Pittsburgh's just going to take advantage of that. So I got Pittsburgh winning this one.
I actually have Baltimore winning this one. A little bit of an upset. Look, you know, Pittsburgh to me is a team that they're going to be right there in the end. This is not like I'm talking smoke and mirrors or Pittsburgh's going to get exposed, but eventually they're going to have a little bit of a letdown. I don't see this team being a 16-0 juggernaut that just runs through the rest of the National Football League. Eventually, they will sputter. And the way this defense is constituted, they can be had with the run, and a lot of people are going to be surprised by that, but there are certain intricacies in that Pittsburgh defense that allows a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. They're going to need a big output from Mark Ingram. They haven't gotten that so far this year. I think he rights the ship a little bit. I think Baltimore catches Pittsburgh on its heels a little bit this weekend. That's my upset special, and it sounds weird in the game of the week against two very good teams, but I think Baltimore has the inside track on taking this one.
No, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It's going to be a fun game, and I'm certainly probably going to be tuning into that one. Next, the Jets at the Chiefs, 19.5-point spread. I mean, look, It's the Jets. I mean, it's.
I'm kidding.
No. I mean, like, I agree. I mean, it's funny. I don't think that they're going to beat them by 19.5 points. I actually want to give the Jets a little bit of credit here and say that they're going to keep this relatively close because, you know, hey, you know, Chiefs are great offense. Let's be real. They can, and this is how they are a great offense is that they do it in every single way. I mean, again, I'm going to save my Patrick Mahomes ranting for after this weekend because I think I'll have a little bit more fuel in the tank for that. But look, I don't think there's any delusions of anyone ever taking the Jets over this team. I don't think there's any delusions of anyone taking the Jets against at least half the league. I think it's kind of laughable if you try to pick the Jets because they're just a bad team. I do think that they're going to keep it within the 19.5 points. Let's put it this way, but I got Kansas City winning this one.
Yeah, look, before the crew at Cetriale's Deli comes looking for me for laughing at the Jets the way I did. Look, it's just, you know what, it's bad. It's just a tough situation all the way around for that team. And Kansas City's going to roll this game. I don't think there's anybody that thinks they're not going to. And, you know, it's just the way it is right now in the Meadowlands. It's going to be a long, arduous season down there. And apparently... Trevor Lawrence is, who they have their sights set on. Will they be able to finally put him in uniform and get the quarterback that they've always wanted? I think in a lot of ways, I think Sam Darnold can be a very effective quarterback for that team, but I don't know. They're just Jets are just a mess right now.
Well, so. That's the thing. Does Lawrence want to? And obviously we all know, you know, the news that came out yesterday that he tested positive for coronavirus. So that's a whole different.
Yeah, no, that's a whole different. It's a whole different story.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if I was Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't want to go to the Jets, especially. I mean, if Adam Gase is still there, God no. Jeez, I mean, I'd rather go play for Tony La Russa and the New York Jets. I'd rather have them go hire Tony La Russa and Adam Gase right now. Which, I mean, that's another. Ridiculous.
Yeah, you can make the argument that would be a better move, but you know.
Yeah, hey, you know.
What do we know, right?
What do we know? Anyways, so we're both taking Kansas City. Indianapolis at Detroit. This is going to be a pretty intriguing game. I think both teams are, you know, still kind of searching for what they are in terms of where they are in this pecking order in both conferences. I got the Lions winning this one. I like Matt Stafford. I think the Lions are playing a little bit better football now. I mean, this really to me was, you know, hey, flip a coin. Who do you got? And I landed on Detroit.
I landed the other way. I landed on the Indianapolis Colts. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Detroit come in and win this game. Look, this has the chance to be an intriguing game. I think I agree with you. Matt Stafford's been playing a little bit better. Detroit's starting to show signs that they may not be the doormat that everybody thought they were going to be this year. There's still, you know, some talent on both sides of the ball. And if they can start to put it together, they can make it work. But Indianapolis is also starting to come in, you know, to its own a little bit. John Alexander is, I think, going to be able to run the ball a little bit better than he has. And Philip Rivers can rattle off some games, and he's very well suited to be able to play against a Detroit defense like the one that they're employing. So I'm going with Indy in a close one here, but this is a toss-up game. I think it could go either way.
Next, we got another game that we both kind of got our eye on, and that's the Las Vegas at Cleveland. And obviously, Cleveland's going to be without Odell Beckham Jr. I don't buy this whole, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Baker Mayfield looked better without OBJ. No, stop that nonsense. You know, Odell Beckham, despite maybe some of his struggles or maybe some of his antics that you may or may not agree with, he's still one of the best receivers in the league. So if you lose him, you don't get better. There's no addition by subtraction in this situation. So I still think Cleveland is playing better. I think they're a little bit more, I don't want to say balanced, but more even keeled on offense. Like I don't think there's as many highs or so many lows. So if they do get really low, it isn't just like a, you know, there's no way to come out of it. I think they're better equipped at handling adversity. Doesn't mean they're the best at it. No, it just means that they're better than what they were last year, which, again, relative to, you know, whatever. It's, you know, whatever. Anyways, I got Cleveland winning this one. Vegas has been very prone to giving up a lot of passing yards. And no, Tom Brady is not walking through that door again. But Baker Mayfield can throw the ball around. I do think that this team does have their way on offense, and they win this game. It's going to be close, though. It's going to be close. But I do have Cleveland winning this.
Yeah, see, this is good. We started out as being very like-minded, and we were picking all the same. We're going against the grain here a little bit. I'm going with the Raiders in this one. And the reason being is that I do think that even though this team has been very prone to giving up a lot of passing yards, I think they know that. I think they recognize that. And I think they're going to be able to lock down on some of these Cleveland targets, maybe prevent Baker from getting into his rhythm. This is a game where I think Las Vegas can prove to everyone that that start that we saw them get out to was not necessarily a fluke. This team's got talent on both sides of the ball. I'm going with the Raiders in a close one here. I think there's going to be a lot of close games this weekend, to be honest with you. I don't see a lot of blowouts, which means that we'll be joining you here on Monday morning talking about all the blowouts over the weekend, because, you know, Ian and I are always, we're always so in tune to this stuff.
We are the opposite of every analyst you've ever met.
Hire this man.
Hire this man. Next, we got the Los Angeles Chargers heading to Denver. Big AFC West divisional clash. I got the Chargers winning this game. I think it's going to be close, just like some of these other divisional games. You know, it doesn't really matter where they are in terms of the ranking or anything like that. It's just, excuse me. I apologize. I'm running out of caffeine here, my friend. I got the Chargers winning this one. It's going to be fairly close, a low-scoring game, in my opinion. I think we might agree on this one, though. Is it true?
It is true. We do agree on this one. It's true. The Chargers, Denver, the Chargers are coming your way. Justin Herbert is going to dazzle you with his play. Thunderbolts and lightning. I like the Chargers in this one over the Broncos. In another close game, though, because these two teams know each other very, very well. Gonna dazzle you when I play. There we go. Right on target. Right on target.
Just waiting
that's
for
absolutely. That's all I was waiting for. That's it.
It's such a great song. It's such. I mean, it's easily the greatest sports team theme song of all time. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't care. Next, again, another big matchup. We got Seattle against San Francisco. Now, we know these matchups are always some sort of ridiculous ending. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's just they always happen to come down to the wire. I think it's going to happen again. I do think Seattle wins this. I do think it's also going to be a very high-scoring game. And I also think it's going to be a point, maybe two, that gets the win. I mean, that's it. I mean, we're talking like down to the wire type of stuff. And I got Seattle in this one.
Yeah, I think this does end up being a track meet. Look, bottom line, I know San Francisco is decimated with injury. I mean, they're already, you know, they're going to be missing Deebo Samuel in this game. They're going to be missing Jeff Wilson Jr. So many of the great weapons that they have on offense that are so adept at being able to run that jet sweep that Jimmy Garoppolo loves to employ are not going to be there. You know, they're missing running backs, they're missing wide receivers, but they still have George Kittle, and there are so many guys on that roster that can run that type of an offense, and Jimmy has looked pretty effective. He's going to score on that Seattle defense, but the problem is I think Seattle is well suited to score on the San Francisco defense as well. I like Seattle coming out on top of this as well. We're like-minded on this one, but this one's going to come down to the wire, and I agree. 1, 2, 3 points at the most is going to be the differential. This is going to be a fun game to watch on Sunday.
If you're a Bucks fan, the game on Monday is going to be a fun game to watch. Not so much if you're a Giants fan. I actually happen to think that the spread is that they have 10.5 is a little too small. I honestly don't think this is. I think this is on par with Kansas City versus the Jets right now. A couple weeks ago, we talked about what could derail the Buccaneers, and it's poor coaching and undisciplined play. It's funny now where all these people that have no connection with the team or no connection with these players were questioning whether or not these offensive linemen would lose respect for Tom Brady after he yelled at them. Well, since then. they have been, I mean, just flawless. I think maybe one penalty on the offensive line since that debacle against Chicago over the course of two games. They played phenomenal. We haven't heard the name Donovan Smith in a negative tone in what feels like weeks. Every snap occurrence just a couple weeks ago. I think this team is rounding into form. I think they get a very easy matchup with the New York Giants. I think Tom's going to have his way with them, and then they'll have Antonio Brown waiting in the wings here. So I got the Bucs winning this one, and I got them winning pretty big.
Yeah, I have the Bucs winning on this one, and I have them winning pretty big as well. Look, I joined our good friend Brian Snow last night into this morning talking about, you know, the weekend slate, and he talked about this game possibly being a trap game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe letting their guard down, a team that's feeling its oats right now, not really taking his opponent seriously. But let me tell you, Tom Brady does not allow that in the locker room. We've seen that several times here in New England. Trap games are not something that the Patriots fell victim to all that much. When they lost, it was usually either poor performance or just bad luck on the field, things of that nature. It was very seldom because this team wasn't prepared or motivated to go. Tom Brady's not going to allow that. Bruce Arians is not going to allow that. And not for anything, folks, the New York Football Giants just don't have the talent to be able to give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a game when the Bucs are prepared to go. The Bucs win this one, and I think they double up the Giants at the very least, probably looking at like a 28-14 type deal, I think, at this point, or maybe even more. Maybe I'm even being conservative in terms of the amount of points that they're going to put up on the board, but not going to be a pretty one Monday night.
Well, and this is a big opportunity. This is the last game of the weekend, so fortunately we can wrap up the day with this. But, you know, this is a big opportunity for the Bucs. I mean, they win this game, they move to 6-2, and then they have New Orleans coming up. You can put a lot of cushion between yourself and New Orleans with back-to-back wins right now. And again, I don't think anyone's sitting here thinking the Giants are capable of beating the Bucs. Now, again, as we know, any given Sunday, things can happen. I just don't see that. If you want to talk about trap games, maybe the one against Chicago was a few weeks ago when they were ill-prepared and obviously they played very undisciplined and it caught them off guard. I don't think that's the case here. I think the talent heavily favors the Bucs. I think the preparedness heavily favors the Bucs. You know, this isn't like in years past where you automatically chalk up the coaching edge to the team that Tom Brady's on, but I don't really think it really matters. I mean, Joe Judge is a new coach. Bruce Arians, you know, he's a good coach. You know, I'm not going to put him in the Bill Belichick, Andy Reid category just yet, but, you know, I still think the ultimate difference maker is Tom Brady, and it's playing out before our eyes. I mean, everything, you know, all the, that's the thing. That's all the anti-Brady talk, all that, it's not going good for those folks. Let's just put it that way. So far, it's just not going good for them. And I think it's going to continue to not go good for them and, you know, throughout the season. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. Anything else you're excited for, Mike? We got a couple minutes. So let's kill some time here before we have to say goodbye and have to wait till Monday to get back on the air.
You know, obviously Halloween this weekend, you know, I think a lot of people's plans are going to be a little different than they have been in years past, especially those of our listeners that have young children that are struggling with, you know, trick-or-treating. Do they go? Do they not? How to balance it? Bottom line, folks, I mean, you make the best decision that you can for your family, for your well-being, and, you know, just enjoy, be safe, be smart, don't be destructive, I think is the best way that I can put it. I know this is a Halloween on the eve of a very contentious and very polarizing election. And a lot of, you know, a lot of things can go wrong on, especially when you have a holiday like Halloween on a weekend. Yeah. Just be smart and be prudent in what you're doing, I guess is the best way to put it. That's my little soapbox or my TED talk for the day. But I'm looking forward to a lot of NFL action on Sunday. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be, you know, pretty good. And, you know, we'll see. What do you got on tap down in beautiful, sunny Florida? Obviously, I'm going to be cleaning, snow off my windshield, apparently. Although it does look like it's melting a little bit. I don't think we're getting too much. But we did get a good coating. It's amazing to me that we actually did. It's crazy.
It reminds me of that year, several years back. I think I want to say it was 2014, where we got no snow except for that devastating snowstorm on Halloween Day. It happened to be before the Patriots lost to the Steelers. I remember that because it happened to coincide very coincidentally with that time the 21-game win streak ended. But for me, you know, I think maybe this weekend, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I have yet to watch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. Not the new season, but the first season. So since the new season, I guess, just came out this past night, this evening or whatever, I think I might finally just hunker down and really get into it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Without hockey every day and baseball, and, well, not that I was watching baseball, but, you know, all these other sports going on, all of a sudden you're finding some more free time to yourself to explore different hobbies, and I think maybe that might be what I do. So we'll see.
Very highly recommended. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I will probably watch Cobra Kai for about the 30th time. No, I'm kidding.
Paul. You're not watching even it right now?
Even I am getting, well, you know, it's, but no, all kidding aside, even I have my limits. And apparently January 8th is going to be the date of the new Cobra Kai season. So I'm going to try to curb my enthusiasm until then. And I'm going to try to keep things in perspective so that way I don't burn out. But, you know, that's not going to work.
No,
you know, I'll have
no.
it in by next week. But, no. you know, it is what it is. So, Mandalorian, good thought process.
Yeah, hey, you know, I'm trying here. But folks, thank you very much for tuning in. We had a lot of fun. I know we had some some hiccups, some technology issues earlier in this week, but I'm glad everyone was patient enough and stuck around with us, our loyal listeners and viewers. We will be back on Monday, of course, to break down all of this weekend's action and really take a deep dive into that Buccaneers and Giants game, because there's going to be a lot to talk about for sure. In the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. We are at Full Press Radio as well. I am at IGLEN31. He is at MDABATEFPC. Check out Full Press Hockey, FullPressWrestling.com. Both rocking and rolling right now. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, a lot of podcasts. Check it out. And, of course, download the app, guys and girls. I mean, everyone out there, you should be doing it. Search Full Press Coverage on Google and the Apple Store and give it a download, and you can get all of our great stuff, including this show, on just repeat, endless repeat, anywhere you go. So check it out. We would appreciate it. Give it a rating and all that fun stuff. Mike, I hope you have a great weekend. I'm going to have a great weekend. I hope everyone out there has a great weekend. Think positively, folks. You can choose positive or negative. You might as well choose positive. So I'm going to think positively. I'm going to have a good weekend. Mike's going to have a good weekend. Everyone out there, whoever you are, whoever you like, whoever you don't like, guess what? Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.